We read from the Holy Scriptures this afternoon from two passages in the book of Proverbs. We'll read first from Proverbs chapter 31, the last chapter. Focus on the part of the chapter that describes the virtuous woman. Proverbs chapter 31. We'll read from verse 10 through the end of the chapter. And then secondly, we'll read from Proverbs chapter 14. We'll read the first 11 verses. Our text is found in the opening verse of chapter 14. We hear the word of God first in Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands to the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Then we turn to chapter 14, Proverbs chapter 14. We read 1 through 11. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. The folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Thus far, we read from God's holy word. As I said, our text this afternoon is found in the opening verse here in Proverbs chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, in general, it's helpful for us to bear in mind that Proverbs are wise sayings that instruct in the ways of wisdom. They are written generally in three different ways. They can be written as riddles, as comparisons, or as contrasts. And though as such they are quite simple, we shouldn't simply view them as mere common sense sayings. Be good and you'll be praised, be bad and you'll be punished. Oh no. True wisdom, as the fear of the Lord is involved, so that it is only by grace in Christ Jesus, who is Himself the wisdom of God, that we can really speak and live the proverbs of God's Word. Solomon speaks repeatedly in Proverbs of the God-fearing woman, the wife that will be a blessing to her husband. And he speaks in contrast of the foolish woman who will be a burden and a hindrance to her husband. She is such to his house, the family. The God-fearing woman, her wisdom may compensate for many of her husband's weaknesses and faults, or all the results of his care and prudence may be wasted by her folly. The godly wife and mother is the very soul of the house. Under the blessing of God, she buildeth her house. It is established in a firm and durable state. But notice the foolish woman. We see her house plucked down in confusion. The doing, or rather the undoing, of her own hands. And so our text, by way of contrast, intends to draw for us a picture of a godly woman, a God-fearing wife, a God-fearing mother. And as we consider our text in the light of what Solomon says elsewhere in the book of Proverbs, especially in the passage we read from chapter 31, we will see what's involved in being and living as a daughter of Zion. The Word of God sets before us the truth that such a wife is more precious than rubies. Her price is far above the precious jewels of this world, because she is the work of the grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. She is a gift unto a believing husband. As Scripture puts it, a prudent wife is from the Lord. He that findeth a wife obtaineth a good thing and findeth favor of the Lord. Scripture sets before us that blessing which God has for His believing people. For you women, as daughters of Zion, and your children rise up and call you blessed, and your husbands also, and your work shall be praised before the Lord. For let us not forget that it is the Lord God Himself who speaks here, and He sets before us what is in many respects an ideal picture, far beyond the strength of any. He sets before you women that which you are to strive to be by the grace which is in Christ. And the standard, the ideal which the Scriptures set before us is radically different from the standards of this world of unbelief in which we live. Here in God's Word, we find not the high glamour, independent career woman, except by way of contrast. But we see positively the meek, the spiritually beautiful woman that feareth the Lord. May this be a word of encouragement and exhortation to the women of Zion here and to us as men and husbands in the midst of the church and to all of us as children and young people. We consider this Word of God under the theme, Homemaker or Homebreaker. And we notice, first of all, their respective adornment. Secondly, their respective activity. And finally, their respective effects upon the home. What characterizes a homemaker? If there is one underlying principle here, it is that she is a woman that feareth the Lord. If there is any true adornment or beauty to be found in a woman, it is fundamentally this: she fears Jehovah God. This is what makes the wise, the virtuous woman more precious than rubies. She is, by grace, a child of God. She has a sincere love and reverence for the great God of her salvation. She trusts in the Lord. She bows before His Word. She is adorned by Christ with the work of God's grace in her heart, with that true wisdom which is from above. God alone makes a wise woman who is a true homemaker. God alone makes a wife who is a blessing for wisdom, faith, godly fear do not proceed from us. It is not something we can obtain by reading a book or attending a seminar or following 5 easy steps. It is that work of God's grace and His Spirit within your hearts, whereby the Lord takes us as we are, dead in ourselves, corrupt, rebellious. He washes away our sins, cleansing us in the blood of Christ. He gives us new life, the life of Christ in the wonder of regeneration. He unites us to Christ by the bond of a true and living faith, so that we are one plant with Him. We live out of Christ. The spiritual adornment of the wise woman, that woman who is above rubies in her value, is this above all else. She is a child of God, a woman who fears the Lord. And that, beloved, is a divine work. It proceeds from God's sovereign decree of election. It is the work of His grace. God alone can take that fountain of sinful pride which is rooted in the flesh of every man and woman and child and humble it to the dust. He alone can take that hateful, rebellious sinfulness of our flesh and turn it around, writing there the love of God. The wise woman knows the Lord. Her heart is set upon the Lord, her God. She meditates day by day upon His Word. All her trust is in Him. Yes, she too, as we saw this morning, runs the race and spends much time upon her knees in prayer. She is the one who confesses her sins, humbling herself before God. She seeks her life not in herself, but in Jesus Christ. She is the virtuous woman who is to be praised. Now, there are many kinds of adornment and fashion to be found in the world. But God sets before us this one fundamental adornment of a wise woman, a believing and obedient heart that loves and fears God. That is everything. That is most precious. Without it, no woman is truly beautiful. And that's why Solomon says, a prudent wife, that is, a wife that fears the Lord, is a gift of God. God and God alone makes a wise woman. By the sovereign, irresistible power of His grace, He makes women who are in themselves foolish and unbelieving His own daughters. And thus, as a wise woman, you seek to know His will, to know the way of the Lord, and to walk in His precepts. You seek to clothe yourself not with your own wisdom, not with the vain philosophies of this world, but with the wisdom and strength which only God can give. Solomon says, Proverbs 31, verse 25, that strength and honor are her clothing. Strength and honor. It is with spiritual sobriety and meekness that the godly woman clothes herself. The Apostle Paul writes Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. The Apostle Peter writes similarly in 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. It's not a fancy hairdo. It's not expensive jewelry. Not the latest fashions or designer labels that are the adornment of the daughters of Zion. The adornment of the wise woman is completely different from the adornment of this world. A living faith which walks day by day with the Lord. A true joy in Christ. A confidence in the cross of Christ. These make for a beautiful woman. That is spiritual beauty. The beauty which God approves. That is the adornment of the wise woman. The homemaker. In contrast, the foolish women of this world make much of another kind of supposed beauty, another kind of adornment, the outward appearance and adornment of the flesh. We read in Proverbs 31, verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. That outward glamour and beauty is empty. Vain, a lie. That's true because it fades away. It does not endure. It has no real depth. It has no abiding value. Not that Scripture advocates ugliness or unattractiveness or dumpiness. Of course not. But the point is, the Word of God does not make very much of feminine beauty and glamour in itself. To be modest, to be chaste, to be meek, becometh godliness. It's one thing to be fittingly and attractively dressed and groomed as is pleasing to one's husband. The virtuous woman described in Proverbs 31 is one whose clothing is silk and purple. She is not intentionally unattractive, but nevertheless, her true adornment is not found in silk and purple, but in her faith, wisdom, and godliness. The women of the world, including this foolish woman of our text, would draw attention, carnal attention, to themselves and to walk in sinful pride. Do you hear this, young men, with regard to your dating, seeking a wife? Face that question. What am I really looking for? The wicked world sets up the outwardly beautiful woman as an idol to be worshipped, an object to be lusted after. You women, girls, are bombarded with propaganda. All kinds of advice and information on how to supposedly be beautiful, attractive, glamorous, sophisticated, seductive. They pour out again and again in all that they do that great image of a supposedly beautiful woman whose body is also attractive with all the right proportions and curves, whose hair is beautifully styled, whose makeup is just so. Today there are all kinds of plastic surgeries and enhancements available to correct any feature that is not quite perfect. Be not deceived. That supposedly beautiful woman is sophisticated and bold and confident, independent. The cry is, be glamorous, dress this way, walk that way, behave in this manner, and be truly beautiful. God's Word says of all those things, it is deceitful, it is a lie, it is nothing but emptiness and vanity. There is no true beauty there. The women of the world have no fear of God in them. They have no spiritual discretion. Do we understand, beloved? It's not your fashion model makeup, not how your hair looks, not the label on your dress that is of importance. It is where your heart is that is of true importance. That you are a wise woman that feareth the Lord. Solomon put it very bluntly in Proverbs 11, verse 22. That as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman without discretion. Did you children hear that? The foolish woman of this world is nothing but a jewel of gold in a pig's nose. A fair woman without discretion. What vanity. What worthlessness. Be adorned with wisdom, with godliness. That's true beauty in the sight of God and godly men. And be assured that the respective adornments come to manifestation in one's attitude and behavior. Solomon says concerning the women adorned with wisdom in chapter 31, verse 26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." The wise woman shows forth wisdom when she speaks. The love of the neighbor is revealed. The living reality of her faith is shown. The kindness of her heart is manifest. She seeks to help, to build up, to encourage, to guide. On the other hand, the foolish woman is a busybody. She's a gossip. She's a talebearer whose tongue is sharp and pointed to hurt, to wound, to destroy the neighbor. She opens her mouth to exalt herself at the expense of others in the church and the community. And the same is true in the home itself. The wise woman walks in love and kindness toward her household, her husband and family. Her husband is not nagged and henpecked. She respects and honors her husband as the head of the home. She seeks truly to be a help meet unto her husband, to stand with her husband in life, to help him and support him in every way as his complement, as one who completes him. The wise woman understands the blessedness of being in subjection to her husband, as the Word of God so clearly teaches. She sees that that does not remove her freedom, but exactly allows for it. When is a train freer? When it's flying off on its own, bumping over a rough field off the track? Or when it's running smoothly down the rails of the track, confined, restricted, if you will, to that track? Of course, it's freer when it is where it ought to be, doing what it was intended to do. What is true freedom? Real liberation for women. Submission allows women to run on the track to do what God intended them to do. Then you will be a true helper to your husband. Will have a full, meaningful, productive life. Foolish woman is continually contentious. A brawling woman. Always angry, bitter, striving with her husband. She walks in brazen boldness against her husband. She strives for the mastery over her husband. She seeks not to help her husband, but often she puts him down with scorn and ridicule. Solomon says, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Yea, it is better to dwell in a wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. By grace, the wise woman has her heart set upon the things of the kingdom, the things which are above. And she manifests a Christian contentment, even through difficult times and circumstances. Times also like these when some may well be dealing with financial pressures and hardships. She is prudent and careful, diligent, patient. The foolish woman is continually nagging, wanting this, demanding that, never satisfied. Solomon says her voice becomes, as it were, like the continual dropping of the rain on a very rainy day. It's greedy, covetous, can hardly be trusted with a checkbook or a credit card. She seeks the things of this world, sets her heart upon them, is always anxious, fretting, harping about this or that. Women of the church, by the grace of God, seek wisdom. Be wise, show forth that spiritual inner adornment of godliness. But what does the wise woman do to build her house? There's one thing that the Scripture emphasizes in this regard. It is that the labor and activity of the homemaker centers about and in her home. Think of the virtuous woman concerning which we read in Proverbs 31. All her gifts are being used fully for her home, for the sake of her husband and children. Solomon says she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She is orientated in all of her life toward her husband and family. She is willing to live for them, to sacrifice for them, realizing that in that way she shall also be truly happy and blessed. Verse 27 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household. The virtuous, wise woman of Proverbs 31 is busily involved in those household chores proper to the godly woman of that day, involved in those things that pertained to the care of her household, busy providing clothing, laboring with spindle and with distaff. She prepared for the cold of winter, being busy with wool and flax, preparing warm garments of scarlet, working willingly with her hands, busy in the preparation of food for her household, and to that end, she purchased a field where she tendeth the garden and vineyard so that there would be food and drink on the table. She was busy, too, with those domestic industries and crafts and that bartering which went on with the merchants, making things that could be sold to gain the practical necessities of life for her home and family. What a help to her husband. As he is about his labor and calling, she takes the fruits of those labors and, as it were, multiplies them, causes them to serve and provide unto the home. And her attitude is one of cheerfulness. She worketh willingly, delightfully. She is a truly happy woman, truly fulfilled, liberated, living in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made her free. She's content. In wisdom, she becomes a blessing and a benefit to many others beyond the circle of her own family. She is truly a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. It needs emphasis today as never before. It is the Word of God that says the calling of the women of the church, of the wise women, to be keepers at home. Now certainly, there may be and there are exceptions to this, of course. But generally speaking, it's not the calling of wife and mother to labor in the world in the sweat of their face. And always, the home must have the priority. That must come first. Scripture says your calling is to care for the needs of your home and family. Paul writes Timothy concerning the young widows of the church in 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, that they are to seek the normal life of a young woman of the church, which is, I will that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Notice that. Mind you, the apostle equates the turning away, the neglect, the despising of that God-giving calling to faithful labor in the home with going after Satan. Likewise, the Word of God in Titus 2 speaks especially to the older women of the church. That is your calling to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Why? That the Word of God be not blasphemed. In general, it is God's purpose that godly women be saved in the way of childbearing and child rearing, not by laboring in the workaday world. Granted that that doesn't jive at all with the image of that the unbelieving world would hold before you today as women. The world paints a very beautiful picture, as we've noted, of the glamorous career woman. She's an equal with her husband, on a par with him, not by any stretch of the imagination his helper. She has her own career. She has her own bank accounts, her own investments, her own circle of friends, her own social life. It's the whole spirit of feminism today. You need your own income. Don't worry about husband, family. If there are even to be any children, he can do his share of the housework, can take care of himself, the children, if there are any, can be raised in daycare centers or babysitters. The foolish women of this world strive for mastery with their husbands in rebellion against God. Solomon calls such odious women. They bring shame upon their households. He says that such a wife is rottenness in the bones of her husband. And there's good reason for that. It's very simple. It's contrary to the ordinance and will of God for women. God made woman to be a help in the beginning, made her to fill up that which was lacking in the man. She is to be the body, he is to be the head, and they too shall be one flesh. What is it then when husband and wife go their separate, independent ways, each having their own careers, each having taking their own vacations, each having their own goals, living independently of the other. It's nothing more than a denial of the very foundation of marriage. It blasphemes the Word of God. The foolish women would destroy their own homes, plucking them down, brick by brick, as it were. Are we ready to follow along in that way? God, in His infinite wisdom, places the woman in the sphere of the home, generally speaking. God says to the husband, not to the wife, "You go out, earn your daily bread in the sweat of your brow." The world likes to describe the life of the wise, God-fearing woman, the homemaker, as drudgery, an intolerable bore, a total waste of gifts and talents. Make no mistake, it is indeed a difficult way. It's hard from a worldly viewpoint. Not much glamour to it. The same old dirty dishes, dirty laundry, dirty floors, sometimes whiny, crabby children, unappreciative husbands. Even with all the modern conveniences, being a homemaker is hard work. But it is a beautiful, it is a glorious work and calling, beloved. Yea, the Word of God says that a gracious woman, one who is filled with grace and walks therein, retaineth honor. Proverbs 11, verse 16. Such a wise woman is the crown and glory of her husband. Such a wise woman builds her house. And so it becomes very clear, not difficult to see the respective effects of the wise woman over against the foolish woman. The wise woman builds her house. The foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. The building of the house is the making of it a home. A covenant home, a place of fellowship, of joy, of happiness, of laughter, a place where the family members enjoy being. That home is a refuge, a safe, secure abode in the midst of this chaotic and sin-filled world. The house built by the wise woman is firm, established in a world where everything seems so shaky and uncertain. That home is strong, strong in the Lord, for it stands upon His Word. And by God's grace, that family grows and develops spiritually. Such a home is a great blessing to the church. The house of the homemaker. The foolish woman plucketh the house down with her hands, just as really as if she pulled the house to pieces, nail by nail, board by board, brick by brick. The foolish woman destroys her home her marriage, her children, herself. What folly. Beloved, the homemaker is praised. We read in Proverbs 31, verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Let's do that, husbands. Let's do that, children. But understand, God Himself will honor the wise, God-fearing woman, married or single, whether childless or with children. God will honor her, for she is His workmanship. He delights to honor her as a reward of His grace. The wise woman whose diligent building of the house now seems so unsung and unrecognized will hear the Lord Christ say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Be wise. Let us strive to build our houses. Seek grace day by day to do so. Be zealous in His Word and in prayer. Be homemakers by the grace of God, not home breakers. Amen. Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. So simple, so clear, and yet so deep, so profound. Blessed unto our hearts and lives, as women, young women, girls of Thy church here, as men, husbands, fathers, as children, young people, lead us in the way of wisdom. May we see the blessedness of the covenant home and family, and the preciousness of godly wives and mothers and women in the midst of Thy church. May it be so, Lord, by Thy grace. We ask it with the remission of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.